Today we're carrying on our series in the book of Exodus. As you know, we've been talking a lot about Moses, who's the chief character in the book of Exodus. We've heard how he understood, firstly, how to depart Egypt himself before he could lead people out. He learnt the principles of departure, and we talked a lot about that. We talked how God met him in the burning bush, how he was empowered by God for confrontation with Pharaoh, we have learned how we should preface all of our problems and difficulties with worship, as Moses did, and we should centre our lives on God's promises. We've also looked at all the plagues of Egypt and seen how each one of them was a distinct slap in the face for one of the idol gods of Egypt. And we've also discovered that whereas it took days to get Israel out of Egypt, it took years to get Egypt out of Israel. We've talked about the last plague and the institution of Passover and the relevance of that, particularly with respect to breaking bread together. And we've talked about how the children of Israel escaped through the Red Sea and how that speaks to us of baptism. We've learnt a lot, haven't we? Yeah, if we're going to carry on much longer, the introduction's going to be longer than the preach. But we've talked about the song and dance experience that they had after passing through the Red Sea. And we've learnt about the miraculous provision of bread, and we saw its daily significance again in the breaking of bread. Today, we're talking about supporting one another. Okay, so my first point, here we go. Do you remember this guy? Mr. Grumble has appeared on a number of slides in this series. And whereas I looked at him today, I thought, we can't include this guy again. But you know, this is a recurrent theme in the book of Exodus, that the Israelites grumble, they moan. Last session we talked about the miraculous provision of quail, so that was meat, up to the height of a horse's bridle all around the camp. And we said how that must have been phenomenal amount of meat. I said to you how there's not a lot on a quail. And you normally have two if you're having them as a starter at a restaurant. But believe me, there was enough for a main course for everyone. And of course, every morning, except on the Saturday, there was the provision of manna. And we talked about that. And so they've just started to see God's miraculous provision for everything they eat. And all of a sudden, they're thirsty. There's not enough water. Now, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that a people who God had miraculously set free from the oppression of Egypt, a people who God had powerfully opened the Red Sea for them to walk out on dry ground, a people for whom God had provided fresh bread on the doorstep, it was better than having a milkman, they had meat whenever they needed it, you would have thought they could have expected God to provide water, wouldn't you? Well, they were not that sort of people. They slipped back immediately into grumbling. And they come out with this preposterous and ridiculous statement. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Who do they think Moses is? Do they think that Moses is a child killer? That's what they're accusing him of. It's absolutely a ludicrous statement. And what I would say to you this morning is sometimes, if we would listen to ourselves when we do grumble and moan, what we say is often as idiotic. And I would just encourage you today. I've said to you in previous weeks, you're a good people. You're not a bunch of grumblers and moaners. And I thank God for that as your pastor every day of my life. Believe me. I have been in churches where it's different. And I thank God that you are different. But all the... Amen, sister. Yeah. But, you know, the truth is, we have to just remember the lesson that we are given here in Exodus. They want water, and their gut reaction is to moan. Their gut reaction is not to say, "Oh God, we need you." Remember, they have spent 400 years, not the same people, of course, in Egypt, as slaves, being taught about Egyptian gods. They lived in a country that worshipped many gods. And these are our people who are, if you like, fresh on the scene. And God is having to teach them from scratch. But they have become a grumbling people. And we have to make sure that we don't go there. What does God do to make this water come out? And this is really why I had to mention this, because it leads us in to the next part. It says that Moses struck a rock with the rod of God. With the rod that Moses had used when he was in Egypt. He walked with it and he did all types of miracles with it at the instruction of God. And Moses used this rod and he touched the rock with it and water gushed out. Now, that's a good party trick. It really is. This was a miraculous provision of water, fresh, running water. Water that was enough for a multitude of people, and God provided it for them. This is great news. And it ought to remind us that we don't need a stick, but we do need something we can lean on. And I would suggest to you today, we can lean on this book, the promises in the Bible. We can lean on what God says in here, because that is enough to bring us water when we need it. That is enough to bring us bread when we need it. And when I say these things, I'm not just speaking physically, although I can do. I can tell you about a Christmas when we had nothing, absolutely nothing. And we had guests coming that we'd asked them to come 3 months before. And we didn't realise the condition we would have been in. And on Christmas Eve, I got up and I found a pound. I went through my pocket linings. I found a pound and I went to the supermarket and I bought all of the vegetables and potatoes and everything we needed for a Christmas dinner. And I had change from the pound. And someone had turned up at our door and given us a huge turkey. So we had a fantastic Christmas. And in fact, I often bump into this couple in Tesco's, at Askham Bar. That's the only place I know where we ever meet. And they will often say to me, "Do you remember that Christmas? It was the best Christmas we ever had, wasn't it?" And you know, God provided for us. Another time, my wife and I, we took the girls out. I had just raked up enough pennies to go and buy a pint of milk. And we came back to find a huge bag of shopping on our back door. And we knew nobody. We didn't know anybody there. And yet God provided for us. Yes, God does provide for us miraculously when we ask him. But we've got to ask him.
Yeah.
But can I say to you this? You don't need to have Moses with you, because we have Jesus. Jesus is greater than Moses. It's one of the great messages of the Gospels. It's one of the great messages of the New Testament. Moses was great. Jesus is greater. And when we see this rod striking the rock, it delivers water to us. And we need to understand that whatever miraculous thing we need, this may even be a metaphorical thing. It may be a breakthrough you need inwardly. It may be an issue of your mental health. It could be all types of things. Let me tell you this. There is a miracle working God we can depend on if we don't grumble. Okay? Yeah. It's good so far, isn't it? Yeah, of course it is. You're not allowed to say no. Oops. All right. The passage we had read to us, which then follows on from this, involves the rod again. Amalek comes and attacks them. Amalek, a nation of that area. And Moses goes up on a hill and he raises up the rod. Now, you have to understand the context of this. This is a slave people. They have never fought. God took them out of Egypt the long way, because if he'd taken them the short way, the conflict with other people would have put them off. Because these were not a warring people. These were not a people who knew how to fight. And so Moses gets up there, and almost because it's all he knew how to do, he raises the rod of God. And all of a sudden, Israel starts winning the battle. But Moses is in his 80s, and he doesn't like holding up a stick in the air for very long. And when he lowers the stick, the battle starts going against Israel. Now, you could say, well, this sounds like magic. Well, maybe it does, but that isn't what it is. This is about one man connecting by faith to the promises of God, lifting up a symbol of that which has brought them deliverance time after time after time. The Bible tells us he struck the Red Sea with it and it parted. This is the same rod that Moses struck the rock with and water gushed from it. This rod is something that Moses, by faith, can connect with God with. And the children of Israel, when they see this rod, they also recognize it. So, whereas it doesn't specifically say this in Scripture, it does say that Moses goes up on the hill and raises this in the air, and you can imagine that in all probability, the children of Israel could see the rod, and that their faith was lifted. But when the rod was down, their faith was down as well. Now, whatever you might say, well, that sounds all complicated to me, sounds a bit weird and wonderful, the Bible tells us it happened that way. And I want to encourage you today that sometimes God does things a particular way, and it may be a very different way to any way you've experienced previously. But do not fret. Do not worry. God is at work. And the Scripture tells us that we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. And we know from that, that God will use whatever circumstance and opportunity he has to turn it round for you. I often believe that when something goes crazy wrong in my life, that God immediately will say to the angels, angels, go quick, reorganize this, use this as an opportunity, turn it round to bring blessing to Steve. And you know, I do believe that that angels are sent as ministering spirits to us. But I want to encourage you today that one thing we can all do when we see the need is to come alongside others and hold up their hands. The heroes of this passage are Aaron and Hur. Now, Hur is H-U-R, not H-E-R. We're not talking about Hur, we're talking about Hur. Aaron and Hur come alongside Moses and they do a couple of things. They get something for him to sit on so he isn't getting weak. And one of them takes one hand and the other takes the other hand. The rod stays in Moses' hands, but these two men hold up the rod by holding up Moses' hand. Now, who knows that Aaron and Hur would get tired hands as well. But it's easily sorted out, isn't it? All they do is, they put one hand down, turn around and lift the other hand up and leave Moses where he is. And they can keep rotating all day. And Moses has the strength of men standing with him. I want to encourage you today that as a church, we're not a one-man band. We're a team. You know, I often talk about Sandra and Jane, my halves team. Every week, week on week, we are there and we serve our bereavement group, and I couldn't do it without my team. Half the time, I don't end up doing anything. They do it all. Because they come with a heart to serve. Because they know, just by looking at me, that I can't do it alone. And you know what? Sometimes we need to be alert. I was in a toilet once, in a gents' toilet, and there was some graffiti on the wall. It said, "Be alert. Britain needs alerts." And, you know, we do need alerts, but we need to be alert. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. And we need to see when we have an opportunity to help. And I want to encourage you today, why not be an Aaron? Why not be a Hur? What if Aaron had said, "I'll help Moses when he asks me to"? Well, we wouldn't have this story in our Bibles. It would be a different story. It would be how Amalek savaged them and killed so many of them. What if Hur had said, "I've smelt Moses' armpits before and I'm not getting that close to him"? You know, realistically, these were the men who could support Moses, and so they did. And they didn't wait to be asked, and they didn't let anything put them off. They went up there, and they said, "Moses, you need to sit down." And Moses was saying, "Sit down, Moses." And we're holding your hands up. And that made it happen for the children of Israel. What can we learn from this? When they saw the hand of Moses, they were seeing the hand of God. You know, we mustn't forget when we look at each other to look for Jesus. You know, so many times I look at you and I don't see your face. I see the Lord. Because I see Jesus in you. I see characteristics of the Lord Jesus. The fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, patience. You know them all. Realistically, we need to recognize the Lord in each other. And we need to recognize when the Lord's hand is reaching out, we need to team up with him and help the Lord reach out too. You might say, "Well, God can do anything. If I don't do it, God will raise someone else up." Well, he might do, but it might take a while. And the fact is, you were plan A. So don't give up and say, "I'll let someone else do it this time." Why not stand up and do that and stand up and be counted, we say, don't we? So we need to hold up one another's hands. And sometimes all that means is going and sitting next to someone and putting an arm around them, maybe praying with them. Sometimes it just means squeezing their hand and giving them a smile. Sometimes words are not even necessary. Sometimes it's your presence that makes the whole difference. And we don't hear Hur and Aaron saying much to Moses. It was the fact that they were there. They were there, and that made all the difference. There is this section that Moses says at the end of this incident. He says he built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." Now, in the Hebrew, the words are Yahweh Nissi. The Lord, Yahweh, that Yahweh is the name for God in the Old Testament. The main name in the original language for God in the Old Testament is Yahweh. In the New Testament, it's Jesus. And Yahweh Nissi simply means the Lord who is my banner. Nissi means banner. Now, what's that all about? Some of us are old enough to know an old song that we used to sing in church, His Banner Over Me is Love. And I tell you what, we wore that out when we used to sing it, and I'm glad we've stopped. But, you know, it was a good song in its day. But when we sing this, when we repeating, the Lord is my banner, what are we talking about? Well, when armies went out to battle, they would carry a banner. The banner would identify them. It would identify their nationhood. It would identify their gods. It would identify who they were and who they stood for. And Moses built an altar that day, naming it, "The Lord is my banner," Yahweh Nissi, because the Lord was who he stood for, and he was determined that the children of Israel would stand for the Lord. They would stand for Yahweh. They would stand for God Almighty. They would stand for the Lord. And, you know, this is one of those names that you sometimes go in Christian bookshops and see books about the names of God in the Bible, and you think, well, there's God, there's the Lord. And you open them up and there's a load of them, and Yahweh Nissi or the Lord is my banner is one of them, and you'll find a page about this. But, you know, really, what we need to understand and learn from this is that lifting up the rod of God was like waving a banner for the army to follow. It was saying that God is with us. He's done it before and he'll do it again. I almost thought, Libby, you were going to sing that this morning when you're talking about it, and you said about doing it again, and I thought, oh, are we going to sing that song? But you know, the Lord is my banner. He's been with us before. He's with us now. He'll be with us again. He's performed miracles for us. He'll do more. The Lord is with us. And if you like, in the New Testament, this is like Jesus saying, I am with you always. And when we say the Lord is my banner, we're saying the Lord is with us. He's with us always. It's so powerful when we come together and we remember the promises of Scripture, that where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst, says the Lord. And you know, I do hope that when we come together, you are listening for him. I do hope that you are aware of him moving. Sometimes I can almost hear his footsteps up the aisle. You know, God is really engaged with us. And I want to encourage you to really engage with God. He is our banner. This project that Libby has told you about today, it's about raising a banner in the nation. It's about raising a banner saying, God is, we're not ashamed of our God. God is with us. There are so many people who find it convenient and fun to make light of Christians. Although we are protected by the same laws that protect people of different race and people of different sexuality, no one seems to have cottoned onto that, and they love to make fun of Christians. I was in a room, a council-led meeting in York about a year ago, and someone said to me, I felt I was unable to laugh because I thought that they might think I was laughing at somebody else and that they might think I'm homophobic. And I said to them, well, if laws like this stop us laughing because we're worried that people will think we're laughing at them, then that is a sad state of affairs. But what we do need to do is always recognise that the Lord is with us. And we need to be promoting our God. You might say he's good enough at promoting himself, and he is. But when we gather round his banner, we are the ones who benefit. We benefit when we gather round the banner of the Lord. God worked miracles before, and he would do so again. This week, I was talking to Joan Physio. Joan, friend of mine from Doncaster. In the summer, she was suffering heart failure. The doctors gave her a couple of weeks to live, and they said she would never go home. Her husband and her told the consultant, "Our God is a healer." And the husband, David, he said to the consultant, "My wife will be home. My wife will return to normal health." And the consultant mocked him. This week, Joan Physio went for a routine check with that same consultant. She walked into the room because she no longer has a catheter. She no longer is on IV drugs. She no longer is living in a hospital bed. She walked there, and the consultant said, "Mrs. Physio, can I shake your hand, please?" And she reached out her hand and she said, "Certainly, doctor. Why do you want to shake my hand?" He said, "All of my working life, I have wanted to shake hands with a miracle. And you are a miracle." Oh, come on. That's worth more than that. When I went to visit Joan, even I thought she was dying. She was absolutely, a body was filling up with fluid. They were pumping her full of drugs to try and get rid of this fluid. She could not get rid of it because her heart was so weak. But I anointed her with oil, and David said to me, "I want you to pray this, this and this." I said, "No, I'm going to pray that her heart function improves and that her heart will start to beat normally." Now, she is driving everywhere. She has got, she's been out and played the organ in her church for 4 different carol services. I mean, she's getting, she is back to normal. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, think about the rod of God. You know, we have to think about the miracles that we have seen and remind ourselves from time to time that God has helped us. What about our Joan? Joan was ready to go. Joan had talked to me. We had arranged her funeral together. Now, she's back home. Well, she is in about now. You know, Joan is up for a bit longer yet. I'm really pleased that she is. When I met Joan, she told me she was going to live till she was 87. And that's a few years ago. And I think she's about 4 years off now or something like that. She's 84, is she? Well, she's got 3 and a bit years. And I said to her, "Look, let's go for that. Let's go. Let's work on the basis that you're going to live to be 87. And she said, "Well, I think I need to arrange my funeral with you because I think I've maybe got it wrong." But we can hold up this. This is a banner. Yeah. God has helped 2 Joans. Do we know any other Joans that God's helped? Well, those are both Joans, and God has given us miracles this year. Nigel has gone home now. But Nigel's wife, we lost her. You know, we didn't win that one, except we did. Because within less than 36 hours before she entered the presence of God, she had a visible meeting with Jesus. Jesus walked into the room, and she hadn't a clue what was happening to her, other than she recognized it was Jesus. And that moment in time, I heard her repent and call on the name of the Lord Jesus. What does the Bible say? It says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. That moment in time she was saved. She went to sleep, she never woke up again.
Amen.
You know, that is a miracle. That is a win-win. This morning, Nigel told me, this morning he said, I was praying and I just mentioned to Kath, I just said to her, I hope you're enjoying the party up there, love. I'll be coming in due time, I'll be coming, but in the moment, you just enjoy yourself, love. And you know, isn't that wonderful? What an encouragement for Nigel that his wife is with the Lord at long last, after years of putting him through hell. She has submitted to the Lord of our faith. How wonderful.
Yeah.
You know something? We need a banner. We need to raise the banner.
Yeah.
Let's not get down. You know, I met someone in the supermarket the other day. Someone that's known to a few of you. His wife is in a wheelchair and she is a long-term disabled person. She's got a good heart, lovely woman, regular church attender. Her husband, though, is her carer. And he is fighting cancer. And do you know what? He's got cancer in three different parts of his body because it's spread. He's had loads of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and I'm not quite sure that they're offering him a lot right now. But do you know what? He came up to me in Tesco's. Oh, other supermarkets are available. And he threw his arms around me and he said to me, God is with me. And you know, I thought, you could be sat at home whining in your tea. You could be saying, oh, but it's so hard. You've no idea what's going to happen to my wife if I die. But he isn't doing, because he is standing by faith. And you know what? I don't know whether he will live or whether he will die, but I'm praying that he'll live. Because our God is our banner. And we need to remind ourselves time after time of the breakthroughs that we have received. Do you know what? Someone said to me, Stephen, we really need to get you on a better salary. Now, I'd say amen to that. But do you know what? I went home and I thought to myself, do you know, I'm not really sure that I would enjoy life on that. Because I have learned to depend on God. And you know what? Sometimes I go to the wire. I have been there at 7 o'clock at night with the bank having just texted me saying, you've gone over your credit limit and we're going to charge you unless you send us money by midnight. And you know what? God sent us money by midnight. And you know what? It's lovely, that. It's really good. And I'm not saying this to you to appeal to you or what I'm saying to you, the Lord is my banner. He's done it before. He's done it. He's doing it again. And he will do it time and time again as God provides for us. And I want to encourage you as a church. God is doing it for us.
Yeah.
That video equipment's arrived. We haven't set it up yet because it's going to take us a while. But you know what? We've now got the remote control video. So I can walk here and the camera will track me. It doesn't even need anybody to do it. I walk here and we can broadcast live on the internet. We've got a bit of a journey to get there, but we've now got the equipment. Isn't that wonderful? And why did that happen? Because someone rang me up and said, Stephen, have you thought about broadcasting on the internet? I said, yes, it's on our shortlist to do. How much would it cost us? Well, it cost us about $2,000. Well, I think God said to me, I should give you half of that. Oh, thank you very much. So the check comes, and then what happens? For 5 days, they have a huge discount on the equipment. So we were able, we only had to find £300 to put to it to buy. It only cost us £1,300. That's wonderful, isn't it? We were expecting to need £2,000. We may need a little bit more later, but the fact is, we've got the equipment. God is providing for us. This is wonderful. You look how we've been able to upgrade our equipment in this church this year, so that now you can We're going to have it so that you'll be able to take out a crying baby, sit in another room, and watch and listen in another room. It's wonderful, isn't it? Thank God for that. The Lord is my banner. He's yours as well. You need to remember that. Because if the Lord is your banner, you can go out to engage in spiritual warfare, because most of our trouble in life, people, is of the spiritual nature. Often when people get aggressive with you and come against you and make your life hell, it isn't them. It's a spiritual force that's motivating them. And I want to suggest to you today, we need to raise up our banner, because these people may be... it wouldn't make a lot of sense to them. But when we raise up our banner in the spiritual realm and say, spirits of evil, evil spirits, demonic forces, I am raising up my banner because the Lord is with me. He's performed miracle after miracle, and he's going to do it today. So get down. Get down, because Jesus is Lord. I do like the Bible. I really do. It's amazing what you get there. I sometimes go to churches where they lift banners up in worship and wave them about. Once upon a time, someone belted me in the eyeball with one. And so I'm a little bit cautious about it. But you know what? What I'm really bothered about is whether or not we're lifting up our banners in our ongoing life. Whether we're lifting up a banner and saying, God is the Lord. Yahweh Nissi. Yeah? Okay. My last point today is too heavy. Anybody know what that picture is on the screen? No? That is the part of the war memorial in New Jersey, just outside New York. And that is a picture of an Allied soldier carrying a victim of Auschwitz when they're liberating the Jews. Someone who couldn't walk, he carried him out. If you look, there is an inscription saying, he's not heavy, he's my brother. It's called the Liberation Monument in Liberty State Park, Jersey City. In 1884, James Wells, who was moderator of the United Free Church of Scotland, wrote a book, The Parables of Jesus. In it, he tells the story of a little girl carrying a big baby boy. Seeing her struggling, someone asked her if she wasn't tired. With surprise, she replied, "No, he's not heavy, he's my brother." In a 1918 book by Ralph Waldo, titled The Higher Powers of the Mind and Spirit, he relates the same anecdote, saying, "Do you know about this innocent Scottish girl? She was trudging along, carrying as best as she could a boy younger than her, but it seemed that this baby was almost as big as she was. When someone remarked to her how it must be hard for her to carry him, she instantly said, 'He's not heavy, he's my brother.'" In 1969, the Hollies had a worldwide hit with "He's Not Heavy, He's My Brother." And they had another repeat hit with it, I think in the early 80s, which was when I got into it. And it's been covered by people time and time again. What I want to say to you right now is that the wisdom of a Midianite is included for us in this story. You know, we can get deceived into thinking that everything is about the Jews. God bless the Jews. The Jews had a covenant with God. Thank God for that. The scripture tells us salvation is of the Jews because Jesus was Jewish. But you know, even in the Old Testament, we have things we can learn from non-Jewish people. And Moses' father-in-law was a Midianite. And he speaks with great wisdom to Moses. And he says, "Moses, you can't keep this up, man. Every morning you get up, you sit there, answering people's questions, dealing with their issues, and you only stop when it gets dark. You can't keep this up. You need to select other men, other good men, and divide up the job between them. And the Bible tells us that Moses did all that his father-in-law said. And when you think about it, he gave 70 men the job. And he'd been doing this job himself. When you think about it, he must have been ready to bust. But Moses was liberated. The job was too heavy for him. But the job will not be too heavy for us if we support each other. If we are there for each other. You know, sometimes we just need to come alongside. Sometimes I can't do it for you. I can't. Sometimes I can't. You know, sometimes I have to be there for one particular person and then someone else wants me and I can't be in two places at once. You may think that your pastor is gifted by God, but I am not able to be in two places at one time. I have never mastered that trick. I really haven't. But you know, we can do it all if we support each other. And I want to encourage you today, when we have a relationship with each other, when we're brothers, when we're sisters, well, I'm not your sister, am I? No. No, you know what I mean though, don't you? You're my sister, you're my brother. When we have a relationship in Christ with others, with each other, because we have a common salvation, we can stand with each other. There are things we can do. Sometimes people come to me and they say, is there anything I can do for you? And sometimes, on the moment, I just can't think of anything. But you know, sometimes what we really need is to come alongside people and lift up their arms and say to them, come on here, you're running yourself ragged. Have you thought about these 70 men over here and how good they are? And why not appoint them to the job? And you know, sometimes you just need a hand. I tell you what, I do. But actually we all do, don't we? We all need someone who will come alongside us. So, I was going to lead you in a rousing verse of he's not heavy as my brother, but then I realised I didn't want to enter the church too prematurely. Our Joan needs our support today. She needs us to come alongside. Now here's a problem for you. Joan is used to getting a lift in from the city centre to us. She now lives at Haxby. Jane's waving a hand in the air. But you know, she'll still need visitors. And Jane can't visit her by herself. You know, she needs to have other people who will visit her. Can I encourage you to have a stab at supporting Joan at this time? Joan reckons she's got another 3 years with us. Would be good, wouldn't it, if she didn't get forgotten. My wife is going into a manor house with us today. She's also coming in on Christmas morning. As soon as we've had our service, she's rushing off to Amana to dish out a shoebox full of presents to everybody. There's one for every 80 residents in that home. We've got one for everyone. You know, my wife could do with a hand sometimes. The truth is, we could do with a hand sometimes at halves. Because sometimes when Sandra's been ill, Jane's had to do every week. And sometimes when Jane's had to go and support her mother, Sandra's had to do every week. You know, I know that there's not a lot of us, but there are ways we can support each other. And the very least we can do is pray. And you know something? That shouldn't be something, well, I'm not going to help them, but I will pray for them. But you know, if you pray for them, your heart will be with them. And if your heart will be with them, you might find your body is before too long. Let's encourage one another, because it's not too heavy for us as a church. Yeah? Someone said to me, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing the other? This is someone from another church. I said, well, do you do those things in your church? He said, yes. I said, well then, carry on with it. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. The truth is, we can't all do the same stuff. But we can do more if we do it together. Yeah? Right, in conclusion. The ever-present threat of grumbling is always in Exodus and should be a reminder to us to develop habits of gratitude rather than habits of moaning. The real emphasis, though, of this morning's message has been that God is our banner, and we should help each other to raise a banner for us as a church, as a body. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about us as a body of Christ. Come alongside people whose hands are drooping. Come alongside those who are struggling and lift them up. June could do with some visits. You know, we can come alongside each other. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first defence, no one came to my support. Well, we've all been there. Everyone deserted me, Paul says. How painful. This is like the man who wrote so much of the New Testament. This is the man who took the gospel as far as Spain. You know, this man was an amazing man of God, and at this particular instance in his life, nobody stood with him. And do you know what he says? He said, may it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Well, the Lord will stand at our side. But it's good when other people do as well, isn't it? Acts 20, verse 35. In all of this, I've given you as an example that by such work we may support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In the next few days, I hope you will remember that last phrase. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But remember to support the weak. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are lazy, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. I rang John Mosey this week because Friday it was 30 years since his daughter was blown out of the sky in the Lockerbie plane. When I was ringing him, I ended up talking to his answer phone because he was in Lockerbie. They were having a service in the cemetery at the graveside of his daughter and of the daughters of all the victims and the sons of all the victims. When he got home, he rang me straight away and he said, Stephen, thank you so much for remembering. You were the only one. And you know what? I thought, how could it be that I'm the only person who remembered? It even made the news. It made the news. And you're telling me no one else thought to ring him? We need to come alongside each other and support one another. It's 18 years since I lost my son. It's 20 years since he was diagnosed when he was 4 and a half with cancer. And you know, I've still got people who remember. And I'm grateful that people remember. I'm grateful for those people who never forget. But you know, we need to remember when each other's needs are present. We need to come alongside each other when our children are causing problems, when there are issues in the home, when work is becoming a problem. You know, there are loads of things we face in life, but we can face them better if we face them together, because we have a banner and we can gather around that banner. And if we gather together around that banner, we can make it through. Do you believe that today? Come on, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you this morning that you are our banner. Lord Jesus, we lift up your name. May your name be highly exalted. We thank you that you are a relational God who cares about us and wants to walk with us. We are not here today because we have nothing better to do. We are not here today because we are sad, sad people who are vaguely religious. But we are here today because we have met a Saviour and we know you and we are grateful for your presence. And you have provided for us time after time after time. Today, Lord, we ask you that we might all know you in an intimate and powerful way, and that today might be a day in which we get up and recognize others in need and support them too. Father, thank you for being our banner. Lord Jesus, thank you for leading us in victory. Holy Spirit, thank you for empowering us for the walk ahead. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.